WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio presents Lehigh Valley Discourse. Provocative, informative, and newsworthy, Lehigh Valley Discourse brings you the people and the issues that move and shape our region here on WDIY.
Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse, and this evening we are talking about our Alliance for Sustainable Communities here in the Lehigh Valley. Before I introduce you to my two guests this evening, though, I'd like to make sure that we all have similar definitions of some of the terms in that title. First is alliance. An alliance is a union or association formed for mutual benefit, especially between countries or organizations, and let me underscore organizations, a relationship based on an affinity in interest, nature, or qualities. So that's what an alliance is. Sustainable means that there is a focus on meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. The concept of sustainability is composed of three pillars: economic, environmental, and social. These are also informally known as the three P's: profits, planet, and people. The Alliance for Sustainable Communities in the Lehigh Valley began forming in 2003 under the leadership of Martin Buxenbaum. Until his death in 2019, he remained an active contributing member of the Alliance. His lifelong partner, Janet Gollop, was a passionate supporter of WDIY until her death in 2015, at which time Martin became part of Janet's WDIY legacy. Today, there are 14 areas of focus for the Alliance. I'm going to list them all here. It's amazing to me that they're able to focus on all of these, but activism and advocacy, climate and energy, community and culture, economy, business, and finance, education and schools, environmental and ecology, food, government, health, media and communications, place and infrastructure, transportation, voices of the valley, world affairs, war, and peace. So, listeners, keep in mind, this is an alliance, which is an association of organization focusing on meeting the needs of the present without compromising the future. And our alliance here in the Lehigh Valley has these 14 focus areas. Although we'll be talking a little bit about the general structure of the alliance and give you a background on it, we will be focusing on the summer internship programs that have been offered this year and have been offered for the last 16 or 17 years. These internships have attracted the majority of their interns from local colleges and universities like Lehigh, Lafayette, Moravian, Muhlenberg, Kutztown. This summer included a student from Dartmouth, and past internships included State University New York, Boston University, Pitt, Ohio State, Northwestern, Cornell, Syracuse, Shippensburg, and Parkland High School. So, I mean, this is an amazing alliance. I'm anxious to hear more about it from one of our guests who's been involved since 2003. But before I introduce Peter formally, there is a quote that is on their website that I thought was extremely important, especially for all of us during these crazy times we're living in. It's, quote, "I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept." This is attributed to Angela Davis. So, without further, I'd like to introduce Peter Crownfield, who was recruited by Martin in 2003. He's the intern coordinator. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you. Good evening.
Glad to have you with us. And on the phone with us is Katie Volpe. She has been a summer intern last year and this year, and she's a senior at Lehigh. Katie, welcome.
Good evening. Hi.
Hi. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
I'm going to have both of you give our listeners a little bit of background about yourselves. And Katie, I'm going to start with you first. Talk a little bit about yourself, how you got to Lehigh, what you're majoring in, and so what you're looking forward to in this year of 2021.
Hi, so I'm Katie Volpe. I'm from Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. I'm a senior at Lehigh, and I'm majoring in Earth and Environmental Science. I've been an intern at the Alliance for the past 2 years. Last summer, I was part of a climate action planning internship, and this summer, I'm helping to edit and publish the semi-annual Sustainable Lehigh Valley booklet that's published by the Alliance. I'm also working with Peter to represent the Alliance on the working group committee for Bethlehem's climate action plan. So I'm really excited to see that through. They're hoping to make a lot of progress this year and have it finished up by early next year.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate having you with us, Katie. Thank you for taking the time. Peter Crownfield, welcome again.
Thank you.
Could you please give our listeners a little bit of your varied background and your involvement with the Alliance?
Yes, very varied. I have done no specific studies or job involved with the environment or sustainability before coming with the Alliance.
Okay, but you've been there since 2003.
Yes, and however, everything is a part of sustainability in a way, so maybe that's giving it short shrift there. The internships were not really planned as part of the Alliance, and right away in the end of 2003, a senior at Muhlenberg asked if he could do an internship here. We didn't know what it would consist of, but we did, and he actually wound up producing the mechanicals of producing the first directory.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that was quite a great internship.
It
provided
was.
The foundation.
Yeah. So then we realized how important this could be to us and to the students who would get a different perspective, at least, than they might get in school.
Okay. And we'll talk a little bit more in depth about internships and what has been available, what is available, what could be available. And the credit or the opportunity that it gives students. So if you are a student or if you have a student in your family, this may be something that might appeal to them. And as you can see from the wide berth of students we've had, from Dartmouth to Shippensburg to Parkland High School to, you know, all corners of the Lehigh Valley, you know, there isn't anywhere, I don't think, that a student couldn't plug into this program somewhere. So, okay. So, Peter, let's talk a little bit about the terms that I started the program with, Alliance and sustainability. What was the driving force? How do you see these words, or are these words, as I define them, a part of what you see in the organization?
Yes, I think they are. First of all, from the very beginning, it was an emphasis on organizations and individuals not connected with organizations. So that was a little bit different than the typical Alliance that you
that
defined.
That is, yes.
And then our understanding of sustainability is, I would claim, much deeper and broader than the Brundtland definition, which was basically the dictionary definition.
Right.
And I think from the very, very beginning, there was an emphasis on the what that lumps down to one word of social. And if you look at our goals, which we can talk about maybe at some point, they put quite an emphasis on that.
On social.
Social justice, let's say.
Okay, so in all things social justice, whether it's food, whether it's whatever system,
right,
that there's social justice in it.
Yeah.
I like the idea. I wasn't aware of the fact that it was independent and organizations mm-hmm. that came together. And my hat's off to you and to Martin and everyone in the very beginning, because I've tried to coordinate efforts of nonprofits and organizations here in the Lehigh Valley, and it's not an easy thing to do, especially with the breadth of the program that you have with the 14 areas of focus. So congratulations to you and all those who've done the hard work to do that. You had mentioned to me a little bit before about how this sort of came about, and there was someone that visited the Lehigh Valley that sort of was an impetus for this community effort.
Yes. In the fall of, this was before I was involved, in the fall of 2002, from what I was told, Jerry Brunetti and Martin Boxenbaum decided that something needed to happen to bring people together and get people working together better. So they called a meeting and brought in the head of the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund to speak. And then there was a follow-up meeting in about five or six months later. And I was at that meeting. And there might have been 50 or 60 people present from many organizations that we would recognize. So I couldn't list them now. Sure. I don't remember it all. And it was decided that we did need to form an organization to do this. And basically maybe eight or nine people volunteered to be on a team to set out what would the principles be of this organization and later to formalize that in a structure that could be incorporated.
Okay, so you're incorporated as a 501c3?
We're incorporated as a nonprofit in Pennsylvania, and then you have another whole step of applying to the Internal Revenue Service for
Correct.
The 501c3.
Okay.
So we did that, but that took another year.
Okay. All right, so the group got together back in 2002, and they began to form in 2003. Now, you were on the leading edge of that, not the initial edge, but leading edge of that.
Right.
What were some of the challenges that you faced as a group trying to pull? It's like herding cats. so what did you face? What were you able to overcome? How did you do that?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how anymore, but yes, there were a lot of different voices, and everyone wanted their particular interest to be at the top.
Of course.
So that's a given. And some of the people who volunteered for that team were also very, very strong about one idea dominating. And I'd say Yaris, Rasa, and Martin and I were the ones who kept it moving forward. But also there was a professor from Muhlenberg who was on that team, Lisa Perfetti. And she was coordinating the a sustainability program that was just starting at Muhlenberg that year. And I think she was a very powerful voice of common sense and keeping things balanced.
Okay.
Also.
Yeah. Were there other communities at the time that were doing something like this that, you know, became a role model for you, or is it that you became a role model for others?
I think there undoubtedly were, but we weren't really aware of them.
Okay. All right. Because things with the environment started heating up at the end of the 20th century, into the 21st century, and, you know, so others, I'm sure, had some similar ideas. But I was not aware in any of the places I lived there was an effort like this going on.
And I guess our focus was much more local and community-oriented than some of the big environmental and sustainability organizations.
Okay. So you were more grassroots.
Try to be, yeah.
Yeah, and to me, and what I've experienced over the years, the grassroots really makes the difference. Once you become corporate, it's really hard to have that passion,
yeah,
and to maintain that fire in everybody that's involved. You mentioned that initially you were putting together some goals and objectives, and can you share with our listeners what some of the goals are and
Well, first of all, we developed this statement of principles, which is, oh, I don't know, 15 pages long,
oh,
right?
Oh, my goodness.
It's all the thinking, though, captured.
Okay.
And then we used that, which is in blocks, to distill into these goals. So protecting the natural environment, that's kind of an obvious one. But it also, our goal recognizes that our communities depend on a stable environment.
Absolutely.
Including climate, obviously, these days. The second goal was to protect and extend fundamental rights and opportunities throughout the entire range of human diversity.
Wow.
So you see, right away, these are all introduced by a statement to create more equitable and livable communities. So that's embedded throughout. Promoting broad, meaningful participation in decision-making, because often that's been preempted by corporations and special interests.
Right, so, right.
And that also came from that community environmental legal defense perspective, because they do that. That's what they do.
Okay.
Fostering strong local economies, but it has to provide secure and fulfilling livelihoods and foster community in life rather than just being a job.
Okay, so work, live, play
type of thing.
Okay.
And this next one is a constant thread through our work, encouraging people to consume food that is whole, locally produced, and grown in ways that sustain and rebuild soil, water, wildlife, vegetation, and our lives. So in 2005, if I remember correctly, we had a school food conference. Martin was the principal organizer of that, and had Leah Nichols from Rodale Institute, who did their dining there, and a number of other people, and pretty much bemoaning the problems of bad school food and trying to figure out what could be done about it. And then finally, promote discussion, education, and understanding of ways to enhance the health of our individuals and communities. So quite a broad range.
That is.
Too much to do.
It's a lot. But so how, you mentioned pulling people together for this food discussion. How else does the Alliance get the message out or get the word out or bring people in?
My favorite thing that was a regular for the first few years was what we called community dialogues. And we would partner with other organizations when possible. But just give a couple of them. Transportation, race relations, intentional communities, different philosophies of food, land use, which was so popular that we had to have three of them.
Multiples.
In succession.
Wow.
And then about a year and a half ago, Martin started a program called Southside Together, which actually is more a hearkening back, but it was very interesting because we would bring together local nonprofits, businesses, and individuals to talk about what they were doing and share some food. And Seamus came for WDIY once.
All right. All right. Good. Well, I'm glad that we were in there with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Listeners, we're going to be taking a short break right now. My guests this evening are Peter Crownfield, who is the intern coordinator for the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley, and Katie Volpe, who's a summer intern for 2 years, 2019 and 2020, with the Alliance, and she's also a Lehigh University senior. We are discussing the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley and intern programs. This is Sally Hanlon for WDIY's Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse with our guest this evening, Peter Crownfield, who is intern coordinator for the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley, and Katie Volpe, who's a summer intern for 2 years with the Alliance in 2019 and 2020, and she is a Lehigh University senior. We're talking about the Alliance for Sustainable Communities, a little bit of background, and then we're going to get into their intern program. So before the break, we were talking about community dialogues, which is one of the ways that the Alliance gets the word out, gets people thinking. And as I was reading that and talking to you, Peter, during our Zoom, I was thinking, this reminds me a little bit of a grassroots Aspen Institute. You know, where you try and bring all the good minds together and try and sort of pull everything and come up with maybe a common approach, common cause. Mm-hmm. Would that be a correct analogy?
I think there's an analogy. I'm trying to remember when they were founded. It was like a long time ago, in the 40s or 50s or something like that. But anyhow, I think they had a more global focus. And they must have had a lot more money behind them because they were able to attract all kinds of people.
And they were in Aspen.
And they were in Aspen.
So that's not the easiest place to get to. So, but before we leave some of the background of the Alliance, let's talk about, you know, we've got these 14 different areas. We've got all these efforts going on. How is this process guided? What is the group that sort of steers the way that the Alliance is moving?
Well, there is a steering committee, but I'd have to say that also many of those efforts take place semi-autonomously. I mean, if someone's really interested in pursuing an area, they might talk with us in the steering committee about it, but it may be themselves doing it and forming their own little working group. So it's 6, 7, 8 people on the steering committee.
Okay.
There's a formal meeting at least once a month, but there may be meetings in between. There frequently are meetings in between as well. And the idea is not so much to make decisions, although they sometimes have to do that too, but as to find ways to get more people involved and really any member of the Alliance can vote on any decision.
Okay. And is there a membership fee to be a part of the Alliance?
They're talking about establishing a dues structure. There has not been.
It's all been volunteer, and everybody in positions there, steering committee, et cetera, is all volunteers at this point, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. So if someone listening to this has a passion about something that is within those 14 areas that we discussed, and they wanted to sort of research it, and they come to the Alliance, being associated with the Alliance should help them open some doors to other institutions, organizations? Is that correct?
I think it would. Some people may need that more than others, but I think that we have good working relationships with a lot of individuals in the Valley at this point. And a lot of those, I'd have to say, were developed because of the internship program, because we're constantly reaching out into new areas and what's important from my point of view is not that they just read academic work, but talk to people in the community who are dealing with whatever issue.
Yeah, get out of the book. Get into reality here.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's now move to internships. And listeners, you'll be hearing from Katie soon. What are the main aspects of when you put together and somebody comes to you and say, Peter, I really want to do an internship on XYZ. What are the things that you try to make sure are incorporated so that the experience, number one, is valuable for the intern, but also provides the Alliance with some good material?
Dangerous to generalize here, but I would say we like to make internships, whenever possible, deal with exploring new ideas or perspectives that the student might know of, but isn't really familiar with. And then to use research and an analysis to produce some kind of result, which might be a policy recommendation or it might be an informative piece for community outreach. But I think that's a structure that's common to them all. One is you have to be open to new ideas. You have to do your homework and research this, and not just trust every bit of research you saw, but to think about it and analyze it, and then you have to do something with it.
Do they have to present it to anybody, like to the board, or?
It depends on the internship where it goes. I mean, they are often presented in actual presentation settings, and sometimes they culminate in a report that's presented.
Okay. All right. Now, Katie, I'm going to bring you in on this. So what were the aspects of this internship, since you've done it now for two summers and you're also involved in a longer-term one with the City of Bethlehem, what were the main aspects of this that caught your eye, engaged you, and made you want to come back?
I think for me it was an opportunity to learn a little bit more about topics I'm passionate about. I've kind of always had more of a science focus, so I was able to bring in my science interests and kind of learn a little bit more about how to actually apply science to make changes in the community. So we've gotten to do a lot of work getting engaged with the community and meeting community leaders, so that's been the best part for me.
Okay, now this year you're involved in the publishing and editing internship, and you're involved with the sustainability in Bethlehem?
Yes.
Okay, and what were you doing last year at 2019?
Last summer I was working on a climate action planning internship. We did a lot of research in climate action plans that other cities in the United States and some in other countries have put together, and those plans, they lay out specific actions to mitigate and adapt to the effects of climate change.
Okay, all right. And how is this perceived at Lehigh? Are you getting any additional credit for this? How is this contributing to your formal education?
I didn't opt to do credits, but I know several students who have taken the internships for credit.
Okay.
But for me, actually, last summer, I did a program at the same time at Lehigh called Civic Scholars. So I was able to use this the internship as a project, and we were exploring the various ways that people can be involved in their communities and make change. So kind of they worked hand in hand.
Okay, great. Thank you. Peter, when I went on the website to look at the internships that have been done over the past 17 years, and you're at the helm of this, I was like, oh my goodness. Listeners, if you want to go on to sustainlv.org, you can see it yourself. But let's talk about everything. I mean, it goes from campus sustainability, which I think is terrific and is in place at most of our colleges in the Valley.
It has come a long way since we started, that was 2007 was the first campus sustainability internship,
okay.
And there were not active programs on any of the campuses at that time. Well, there was limited programs on a couple of them, like Muhlenberg was really focused on reducing energy use, but no overall sustainability approach at that time.
Okay. Editing and publishing, we're going to talk a little bit more about community restorative justice, healthy food. We sort of mentioned as one of the areas of the points of the alliance itself. Let's talk about some recent ones that maybe have even been special projects. So if listeners are thinking, well, I could use some student interns to help me understand this or help me come to a decision. What are some of the special ones that have happened recently?
Well, I think the first one that had a whole team working on it was 2018, and it was a sustainability assessment for the proposed Da Vinci Science City that was being proposed for Easton at the time. And we looked at every area. We wound up with five students, I think. And from Lafayette, BU, Lehigh, all. And looking at every aspect that we could think of. So the great thing about when you bring a team together is you can brainstorm something and think of things that none of us would have thought of by ourselves. And then they had to go figure out what that meant and what should be done about it or how to mitigate it. And it was very well received. It was done with the cooperation of Lynn Erickson at Da Vinci. So that made a big difference. We had pretty good access to things that had not been released publicly yet, for instance. And then at this end of the summer, we presented it to Da Vinci. We presented it to Sal Panto, mayor of Easton, and his cabinet, so that they could get a better picture of what the actual impact might be. Big projects always have unforeseen consequences.
Absolutely, yes.
We tried to foresee some of them for them.
Trying to plan ahead, help them think that through. Interesting. Well, another thing that I have here on this list is sustainability in business. And there are two that you told me about, something with craft brewing and then cafes and restaurants.
Last summer, running in parallel with the climate action planning that Katie was involved in, was examining sustainability considerations for independent cafes and restaurants, of which we have many here in the
Lehigh Valley. Yeah, we do. Well, we have had, let's hope.
Yeah, that's true. So they, a team of three students, went and met with, I would say it was close to 15 different businesses, all sorts of businesses, from a little cafe like Lit, which was fairly new at the time, or Brew Works, Jum Bars. So people who had some interest in sustainability, and they also each had questions that seemed there were barriers to them. What do I do about that? What's the trade-off if I switch away from styrofoam? How much is that going to cost?
Sure.
So that went quite well, and they presented their results individually to each of the businesses. Sometimes it was just the owner manager, and sometimes it was two or three people involved. The brewing one, I don't remember how that started. I guess it started because we were looking at Brew Works as one of them, and it just raised some questions. So Olivia Bartz, who was one of the interns in the summer project, wanted to do that as an internship for credit in the fall. And we looked at different sizes. We couldn't even begin to cope with the number of them in the Lehigh Valley, but so we looked at, in particular, we looked at Brew Works, a brew pub, in other words, Weyerbacher, which is a more wholesale-type brewery, and Boston Beer or Samuel Adams, which is just about as big as you can get and still be
independent,
called a craft brewer.
Yeah.
So they were fascinating, and we learned things from each of them and then tried to share it back, and we also shared it back with the Lehigh Valley Brewers Guild. Although that was just by mailing something to them.
And this year, you have three internships that are happening at the same time. Thank goodness you're retired and you can do this.
Yes.
Anyhow, the one we're going to go into detail with that Katie's involved in this year is publishing and editing. But just a little bit of highlight on community and restorative justice and sustainability commons, please.
Okay, sustainability commons, we'll do because it's the easiest one. Years ago, we created a platform which Martin used to refer to as an intranet for organizations and individuals involved in community action type things. And it would let them, in an individual community that was formed, which might deal with a specific subject or project, that could be private. In other words, it's not a public website. It's only available to people who are registered on that site and allowed to participate. So it's been used for a lot of things over the years, but it was reaching the end of its life as more and more people were accessing via tablets and cell phones and things, and the software was not
capable.
Developed for that. It was developed by the Open Society Institute for their projects and linking work being done mostly in Europe at the time. So we're trying to develop a new form of that, and it's coming along. We used a variety of it this summer for our projects, but it has some limitations, so we're still working on it. The other big project this summer was the Community and Restorative Justice. this is, I would have to say, something we never actually contemplated doing in the beginning, but a student from Lafayette asked about, what does this mean, restorative justice? And so she was a pre-law student, and she wanted to explore it, and we spent the summer exploring it. And after that, it's become a recurring internship, pretty common. And so this summer, three students who all coincidentally happened to be from Lafayette looked at the restorative justice. We're fortunate to have the International Institute for Restorative Practice right here in Bethlehem. We met with, of course, all the meetings were virtual this year, which is a big, big loss. But we met with John Bailey for an hour or two, and we met with Nandini Sikand, who made the film Inside Outside over at Northampton County Jail. Laura Savinelli, who used to be their reentry coordinator and now works for United Way. But, I mean, just that, just to give you an idea of the different types of people.
Yeah.
And it's people who are sometimes in the system and sometimes critical of it. And we met with Jason Schiffer, chief of the Lehigh University Police, and with one of his officers. Mm-hmm. So they get a real taste of what it's like to be in the system as well as maybe what it could be.
Yeah, and Jason was with the City of Bethlehem Police as well, so he's had, you know, multiple experience of that policing, and I think he was in a law firm for a little bit too.
He was before
Lehigh. Interesting. Well, and the third one is this directory, and listeners, you may have seen the directory in printed form over the years, available at some various health-related or environmental-related locations throughout the Lehigh Valley. But this year it's taking a new twist, and we're going to take a short break and then get back with Peter and Katie to talk about what's new and different about this year besides using Zoom for everything that we're doing. So we're taking a short break. My guests this evening are Peter Crownfield, intern coordinator for the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley, and Katie Volpe, who is a summer intern for the Alliance, both last year and this year, and a senior at Lehigh. And we are discussing the Alliance for Sustainable Communities and its intern programs. This is Sally Hanlon for WDIY's Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Are you interested in inspiring and informing future generations through WDIY's programming? A gift through your will, retirement plan, or estate plan is a wonderful legacy to leave to those that will need a trusted place to hear what's going on in the world. For information about naming WDIY as a beneficiary, please call 610-694-8100 or visit wdiy.org/legacy.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture. From its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse with our guest this evening, Peter Crownfield, who's the intern coordinator for the Alliance for Sustainable Communities, Lehigh Valley, and Katie Volpe, who's a summer intern both this year and last year for the Alliance, and she's a senior at Lehigh University. And we are going to be going into more depth about the intern program and one of the special areas that they handled this summer. So thanks for joining us. And now I'm going to direct some questions to Katie. Katie, what about this year's project, which is publishing and editing? You're an environmental-related major. What appealed to you about this particular internship?
I think a big part of my interest in this year's internship was related to what I learned last summer. We spent a lot of time focusing on community engagement, so I saw this internship as another way to do just that and engage with the community and reach out to people about sustainability.
Okay. And this year was quite different than last year, at least from a planning and an implementation end, just because of the fact that we're social distancing and doing everything at a distance. How did that work for you this year? Did it work okay? Did you get further along? Did you miss having that camaraderie with the other three students?
It was definitely a little bit different from an in-person internship. We did a lot of Zoom meetings, and we used the sustainability commons that Pierre talked about. It was a lot of just online communication, which I think was a little bit difficult to get used to at first. Zoom meetings and posting online can feel really serious and formal, but we had to learn to just, even informal questions that normally if you were sitting next to someone, you would just be able to turn to them and ask a quick question. All of that had to go online in a more sought-out email or post, so we had to learn to feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah, it's a little hard to be spontaneous when, you've got to schedule everything and make sure everybody's available.
Right.
Yeah. So the directory this year has a different approach to it, and can you share with our listeners how it has expanded and what are the areas that have been added to this year's directory?
The first big change is that usually it was just published once a year in the spring, and we're now moving to a semi-annual publication, so spring and fall. And then in the past, it was more of a directory of local businesses and essays about sustainability, but we're shifting to a more creative platform. So we've been collecting submissions with artwork, poetry, creative essays to hopefully reach a wider audience.
Okay, and how did you get word out so that people could understand that this was something that you were looking for?
We've been sending a lot of emails since we couldn't really hang posters in physical locations. Since people weren't going out and about as much, we mostly communicated through emails, sent out a digital flyer, and tried to answer people's questions as best we could in that form.
Okay, so I would imagine that some of the email distribution went to the current members that are listed in the directory to get them to maybe get it out to their folks?
Yes, we sent emails to a lot of local community members, a lot of local schools, K through 12 and universities, university clubs, art or environmental clubs, pretty much anyone we could think of who might have something that they wanted to submit, anyone who is passionate about sustainability or has experience in the arts.
Okay. So you said there's stories, there's poems, correct?
Yes.
And artwork?
Yes, we have paintings, drawings. We're hoping that we might even see some kind of hybrid art and writing, maybe people who want to submit things like cartoons. So we're really just accepting a wide variety of artistic pieces.
Okay. And for those that are listening to us this evening, how do they submit information?
You can submit on the website.
Okay. So that's sustainlv.org, correct? All right. And is there a deadline? Is there, that they have to provide it by a certain time frame? How's that working?
We're working on a rolling submissions basis. So for the fall submission, we're kind of trying to wrap things up in the next few weeks. So we're accepting a little bit longer. But if people submit past when we've kind of closed it for the fall, they'll be automatically accepted for the spring. So pretty much can submit at any time.
Okay. So fall and spring. So do you anticipate this being more than just digital? Are you thinking that if things lighten up that this will be a print document as well, or are you going to just focus on digital?
Well, in the past, it's been mostly hard copies. So we're kind of discussing how feasible that is. We're hoping to at least print some copies to distribute to maybe colleges that are opening or some businesses that have opened a little bit, but it will be primarily online.
Okay. All right. Terrific. And so will there'll be announcement, Peter, online when it's now available, or are you putting a big...
Yes, and I should add to that, if they want to find out about this in particular, they go to sustainlv.org/SLV for Sustainable Lehigh Valley, which is the official title of this publication.
Oh, okay. Okay. And there are, by the way, listeners, there are other publications that you can look up on the Sustain Lehigh Valley website. They have something called Left Turn, which is a publication Beyond Capitalism working group of the Alliance. And as Katie mentioned earlier, there's information there about the Bethlehem Climate Action Plan. So, I mean, there's a host of information if sustainability and working for a better community and maintaining is in your passion box. So, Katie, I'm going to sort of ask you to represent the other students that were involved in this project this summer and share with our listeners. I mean, again, they may be interested in an internship. They may have someone that might want to get involved. How did you mentioned you work together by, you know, Zoom and some other things. Were you able to, do you think, overcome the fact that you couldn't be together as an exchange face-to-face group?
Yes, yeah, we were able to do a lot of communicating online and on Zoom, some more formal meetings, and some we had regular scheduled meetings twice a week, and then whatever else we felt was necessary, depending on how much work we had to get done. So I think after we got the hang of that format, it became a lot easier after a few weeks in.
Okay, and this may unfortunately become the way of education going forward. You know, when we're hearing about all the situations that the administrators are dealing with do we open, do we not, do we do it a couple days a week, do we do it online? So having this skill to work with others online, I think, is going to advance anybody who gets involved in this project or any of the projects that the Alliance has. It'll put you out ahead of all the others. So let's talk about some of the other responses that we received, Katie, from your fellow interns about why they got involved, what they learned, what they hope to maybe utilize their skills, knowledge, etc. You had an opportunity to be with them on a regular basis. So what do you see, and from the comments they provided us, what would you like to share with our listeners?
So there were three other students. There were two girls from Lafayette, Katie and Julia. Both of them were they were journalism and English majors. So I think for them, they got a better perspective of the sustainability end of things. They were pretty familiar with editing and publishing. Julia said that her view of sustainability was expanded. She originally thought of it mostly just as environmental issues, but realized that there's a lot more to it, and that health, social justice, the local economy, those can all be considered sustainability issues. And Katie said that she was able to reflect a lot more on her own impacts on sustainability and has made a lot of changes in her daily life, like limiting water use and limiting her single plastic use. So she was able to learn a little bit more about the environmental side of things. And then Liam, he goes to Dartmouth. He is an environmental studies major, so he was a little bit more like me, not as familiar with the editing end of things. And I'm just going to share something that he said that was kind of his takeaway. He said, be an agent of change. Although sometimes it may feel hard to think that changes on small scales are actually impactful, every step you can take towards being more sustainable and promoting social justice and equality will help us make the world a better place. So I think we all kind of took away that every bit of the community, everyone in the community has a chance to help make a change. And I think by being a more creative platform, you don't have to be a scientist to be talking about environmental or more broadly sustainable issues, but that you can be an artist or you can be a writer and you can still help spread awareness about these issues.
Yeah, because everybody learns differently. There are visuals, there are auditory, you know, ways of learning, even songs. I heard one the other day. It was a takeoff on Billy Joel's Allentown song that was, quite honestly, it was about environment sustainability and a little bit about the pandemic in there, but it was like, okay. You get people to sing along, and, you know, maybe it sinks in as they sing along. So, Katie, because you were involved in Bethlehem's Climate Action Plan, I'm wondering if we could have you give us a little bit of insight into what you're doing there and what all's been going on in that group.
Sure. So they have consultants, the WSP group in Bethlehem and the Nurture Nature Center from Easton. They're working on drafting a climate action plan for the city of Bethlehem. And then there's several different community groups, who, including the Alliance, who are helping to give input to that plan. So we're kind of just reviewing, making sure that actions are actually feasible for Bethlehem to do. And then we're also kind of reviewing everything with an environmental justice lens to make sure that any plans that are made are going to be accessible and affordable to everyone.
I noticed in the write-up that's on the website that sustainable practices and adapt to inevitable effects of climate change, something like we experienced just recently, which is the rain that it was almost 40 days, 40 nights, it seemed like. How are you working with that? I mean, that certainly is something that climate change is really affecting, and no one knows for sure, but how are you sort of envisioning or working with what you think has to happen there?
Well, I think there's obviously a lot that has to happen. There's the mitigation end and reducing emissions, and then there's adapting, like you said, to big events, big weather events that are happening. So I think that, one, the community has to be on board with any changes that are being made. I think that that's probably one of the biggest hurdles is educating the community and making them understand why certain changes are necessary, and then also getting everyone to do their own part, because individuals have a lot of weight in making change. So if everyone is recycling and, you know, reducing their own electricity usage and everything, that will add together to make a big change.
Yeah, we're so used to not thinking about those things that we just go into sort of automatic. And again, having this brought to the forefront gives everybody an opportunity to sort of look at themselves, I think. Hopefully they do. But Peter, what would you like to add about this internship program this summer, the publishing and editing, from your perspective?
Yeah, I think the shift in content stemmed from two facts. One is that a tremendous amount of the time in producing the directory was trying to get people to update their information, which always seemed to be a problem. And then the other is that we were reaching a certain audience, but not reaching an audience who might be interested in other portals into these ideas, I would say. And now we're starting to see people doing art and photography related to sustainability issues in a way that makes you think about them.
Okay.
In a different way than having someone give a lecture might make some other people think about it, right? And then we're seeing enough writing in this direction that there's now a new genre called cli-fi.
Cli-fi, okay. That's
so
new.
People okay. Writing short stories and novels about what's coming from all that. A couple of us decided that we really needed to get with it and do more of this. And although Martin wasn't around to help with this anymore, Martin was a longtime supporter of the arts as well. Had been very active, I think an officer at one point in the Lehigh Valley Arts Council.
So okay.
He was always inching this a little wider, and we decided to take the big step, and it will require putting less detailed listings in. So it'll be less the directory, but we'll have a better indexing, and we're visualizing it now that each year will feature a certain group, maybe it's the newest entries, and give them a more play.
More visibility, yeah.
And maybe in the spring, and this will actually continue into the fall issue, there was a special feature coming out of that, sustainability practices for cafes and restaurants. So they were listed in a feature and basically thanking them for their participation, but that'll continue in this issue, and then we'll find something else to feature in the next issue.
A lot of work has gone into this. And so you anticipate the directory being out, I'm going to say, September, October?
Probably mid to, let's say October. Sometime. Probably okay. No, not before the middle of October, maybe late October.
Okay, so that's sustainlv.org is where that can be found. And again, for our listeners, now that you're sort of getting into the fall term, what internships have sort of surfaced for this fall for people to get involved in, students?
Well, number one, of course, is another editing and publishing internship to deal with this specific issue coming out. I mean, we do already have quite a few submissions, but not a whole issue full yet, and so we're still working on that and starting to receive more as people wind out of their summer mode. There's a grad student at Lehigh is going to be working on food access and food justice in the Lehigh Valley, probably with a big focus on Southside Bethlehem, although again, we're back to doing things remotely this fall, so
sure.
It's hard to tell just how that'll work out.
Yeah, wow, incredible. Listeners, you've gotten a lot of information tonight about the Alliance for Sustainable Communities in the Lehigh Valley, as well as the internships. And Peter has done an amazing job for 17 years overseeing this effort, keeping the students engaged, helping to open doors. And if you're a business or an organization that has some inquiry as to whether or not you could form a team and have something investigated like they did for Lynn Erickson at the Da Vinci Center, I mean, Peter, would you be the contact for that?
Yes,
okay.
if it involves interns. And you can find a lot more information about this by going to internships.sustainlv.org. That'll take you right to the internships page. But I would say there's two things make me a little uneasy about that statement, which is, number one, it's not right to use interns just as free labor, right?
Right,
so,
correct. That's
a,
yeah.
So I wouldn't want to get a business to get that idea.
Okay.
And most of these internships started either with a student idea or our idea, even the Lynn Erickson one. I mean, that was proposed by some students in Easton, and I contacted Lynn Erickson.
Okay.
And so we'd welcome inquiries, but it may not be as easy as it sounds to just have someone do a project.
And it may not happen right now.
Right.
It may, based on everything else. Listeners, we're about to close this evening's program, so I'd like to thank my guests very much, Peter Crownfield, who is the intern coordinator for the Alliance for Sustainable Communities Lehigh Valley, and Katie Volpe, who is a summer intern both for 2019 and 2020 with the Alliance and a Lehigh University senior. I'd like to thank Neil Heaver, who's our operations director here at WDIY and running the board and taping this program. So thank you all three. And of course, listeners, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this program this evening on 88.1 FM WDIY. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.